Honourable members, we've got the CASA. That is here to engage with us. If you remember correctly, on the 24th of November last year, we also got disturbed that we couldn't be able to engage or continue with our work or responsibility of oversight. Where CASA, you know, raised quite a number of issues before we even, you know, started engaging, and were disturbed by the protest that was here. I think we'll be able also to catch up within those party processes, but also engage with the document that they also managed to send to us and try to look at issues in its own deeper sense to try and address the challenges that are facing us. And it's very much important that members be able to look and engage fairly with the documents. And we also believe that Chairperson of CASA will be able to help us so that as well as we continue to engage, since the Chairperson will leave around 12, he just wanted an apology in that regard, and I think it would be fair enough if we, you know, because we be able to, you know, engage quicker with the report, and I believe that the group CEO, acting group CEO, will be able to, you know, keep most of the things shorter and straight to the point so that he can be able to assist us. But group CEO, if you can be used also, or Chairperson, the board, if you can be able to assist us to introduce your team, because I consider that you've got many faces here, but you can be able to know exactly who's here. Over to you, Chair.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. As it should be known, I'm the chair of CASA. Next to me, the acting group CEO, Nathi Fenner. Next to her is the chair of the board in the Finance, Capital Investment and Procurement Committee. And then we have the chair of Human Capital Committee of the board. And then we have the chair of Safety, Health, Environment and Quality Assurance Committee. And of course we have a representative of the Director General from the Department of Transport, JD, as we know him. I'm going to ask the rest to quickly introduce themselves. Safe to say that the committee chair requested that we bring the CEOs of subsidiaries and divisions. They are all here. But we also thought, because most of the issues, there are many issues raised which relate to supply chain management, we have asked the acting chief procurement officer to be here so that we can inform the committee on what progress we are making in that regard. We have an apology, Chair, from the Chair of the Audit and Risk Committee, who, because of her other involvement with the government, has been sent to audit work for the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, and she's traveling abroad. The Director General is unfortunately not here, but they have to brief in detail the minister, who's also this afternoon required to answer oral questions in Parliament. The chief financial officer is on her way. I'm informed she's there. It probably also held back at the registration office. The company secretary is also there in the queue at the the registration office. But very quickly, Eddie, let's start with you quickly. It's a very brief introduction.
Chair, my name is Eddie Chilipin. I'm General Manager of
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Simwa Mufi, the CEO of Rail Operations at PRASA.
Good morning, Chair. Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Mbule Akinana. I'm the Acting CPO at PRASA.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Rishi Kizaman. I'm from Group Internal Audit.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Patrick Ombud, Acting CEO of Intersouth Asset Investments.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Bongani Kupe, Acting CEO of Porto Pexa.
Good morning, Chair and the members of the committee. My name is Aaron Gubane, the CEO of PRASA Cref.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Victor Lamini. I'm the spokesperson for PRASA.
Okay, thank you very much. We also received an apology from the DG and from the minister for their absence here. And we also have a standing apology for the chairperson of the portfolio committee, as she's still not well.
Any other apology, Valerie?
I think that those are just apologies that we have. We'll just continue to you, Chair.
Chair, thank you very much. The request that the board received.
Just a minute. I think members want to. Members, do you want to engage Chair?
I know that you did not ask us to introduce ourselves, and I guess we all know well, so I'm not going to go to that. I do want to comment on the agenda issues that may also not be exhausted today, but I think that we had a fairly short agenda, so I wanted just to comment on the agenda, if I may. Chair, you would remember that November 2015, we were in the verge of getting a briefing, and then the workers told us to vacate the venue in G26. So we could not proceed with that meeting. We're still a backlog of engaging with the issues that are raised in that particular report. So that's number one. I think we need to find a way to get that report on the agenda. Now, I know the agenda of today is very specific, and it's an issue that has already happened. It's a plan that is on the table. May not be that long, given that there is really issues that are already on the plan. It's a turnaround plan. The second issue that I just want to raise, it takes long before we meet with the agencies. There's a troubling issues that is emerging that we are dealing with, particularly around the issues of metros, metro rail. The issues that got to do with either the cancellation, delays, revolt that is emerging within communities. So that issue we need as a committee to be seized with. And now the chair of the board will also help us to get into that. The second issue associated with that is the issue around passenger rail. You know the NDP, I was trying to read the NDP about access to passenger rail. And the whole issue about passenger rail and shortfall, the issue about the shortfall of 600 million that was budgeted into, how are we going to manage that going forward? So that issue we need to, because it's actually a deficit issue. So we need to get engagement with the board on that. I got my hands on a report at the table at the provincial legislature transport by a Metro Rail regional manager, giving the status of the Metro Rail. It's fairly a worrying state of affairs with the kind of challenges that are emerging there, with the issues that that are a whole range of issues that are problematic. That report was tabled at the standing committee in August. We haven't yet received any presentation of that nature around metros in the country in terms of the issues that are affecting them. And I think that with that issue, the acting CEO did manage mentioned in earlier one of the presentation, the process of, I'm just listing the issues. Western Cape. That it was the Western Cape provincial legislature. Well, of course, Gauteng, I read a statement about trade that were discontinuing in the particular lanes in some way there were problems. That too, we still need to know what's happening in that particular part of the country. So the acting CEO chair did mention when we met with them that they were considering a remodel, part of a remodel, including the issues of the managing functions. That suggested centralization or moving towards the centralization. If you remember, we did ask a question, what are you going to do with the people that are responsible in various regions? Now, when we get that presentation, we need to understand the authority, the level of authority. Is the centralization model helping to get quick turnaround of trains that are under servicing or spare parts? What authority does the regions have in terms of metro rail, efficiency of metro rail? It's worrying that we may find a revolt that come out of the metro. We were told in Prasa House by the rail regulator that they are going to close certain rails if nothing is done by Prasa. I do know that some of the stations in Khayelitsha is not operational. They're closed down because of certain things. Now, if, as a result of that report, we do need to have an in-house discussion chair where the safety regulator is part of it, so that we understand the country, what is going to happen in terms of disclosures, and what is it that is happening in terms of PRASA, what is PRASA going to do with those issues. The last issue that that we need to get attention to is the expenditure patterns. At the moment, we are getting into the last quarter. We need to ask the Department of Transport for us to come and brief us around the quarter, even quarter 1, 2, and 3, around the agencies. If PRARA had a budget of 14 billion for 2015-16, we would need to know what is being spent to date, of what, and what are the implications of other things, including the dispute, cancellation of this contract and that contract, and the possible rollovers. We need to understand that as a committee here, as what is going to be the implication going forward. So I thought that given the nature of our agenda and the shortness of it, because I think we should be looking more forward than back. This is the issue that are going to confront us. I don't want to come in the tail end and talk about the agenda, let me raise the issue right up front. And we will see, we may not finish them, but agency we need to get around the table and have some conversation around these issues.
Thank you, Mr. Matakan. Any other member that want to also raise something for so that the answer or
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Before we get the presentation, and before us interacting with the presentation, Chair, I would like to get a clarity on just a matter of principle. As members of the committee, I got a sense that there is something that is said, and it's in the public domain, that us as a portfolio committee are interfering with the internal affairs of the entity. Can we be cleared of that, Chair, because I think our responsibility is to follow monies that are appropriated to the department and also the entity. What is it that we are doing wrong that can make the
the NDP think that we are interfering with the affairs of internal affairs of the of Prasta, so that we become clearer and be confident when discharging our responsibility. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Let's give it to the Prasta to also be able to respond to the concerns that have been raised by Honorable Mutlakane, Honorable Tlako, and I guess also the rest of the other issues that they want to engage. Thank you, Chair.
Oh. Where do you place those issues in the agenda? We must have adopted an agenda and say these items falls under the item. Otherwise, all of those, the moment they respond, they will raise questions and it will not be in line with the agenda. So if we have to review the agenda, let's agree that we are reviewing the agenda and adopt the agenda and sort in these issues so that we are structured in the manner that we run the meeting. Because there's no longer any other business in this agenda. So you can either restate the matter that we attend with in the last meeting so that these issues can be catered for there. So that's my appeal to person, so that we are more structured. Otherwise, we'll start to discuss. There are very key issues, but let's find the item for them in the agenda. Without a minute.
My earlier comment was that I started by reminding them that there are often issues of November. And the view was that, as Honorable Takan was also reflecting on those issues, is that they've started probably highlighting and engaging on those issues. And after engaging with those issues, as we come to the particular report that they also before us, then so that we can be able to try and engage with it. I just wonder if I'm not capturing you.
If we have to continue with the report that was presented last time, Chairperson, let's put it in the agenda. This is the report. And say presentation to the Portfolio Committee on Transport. There were many issues that we would have wanted to raise at that time in terms of this report. So I'm not saying that the issues will not be attended to. I'm saying that we must have clear agenda items to say this is what we are dealing with in the agenda. Well, there are many issues here that we will also have wanted to raise. So how do we structure that?
I think I will agree with the Honorable Musawani. I was a bit lost because this is the agenda in front of us, but now if we are to raise other matters which are not in the agenda for the day, it's a bit confusing. I was also worried to say, instead of getting the presentation as in our agenda, now we are coming up with the matters which maybe I'm not sure whether our visitors are prepared to deal with them today because they are not on the agenda.
What are you suggesting about Bika Pelosi? Have you said anything?
I'm suggesting that we follow the agenda as it is.
Okay.
I was just trying to raise concern that in the opening you stated that you've got apologies that you've received today of some of the staff members that's leaving at 12 o'clock. So now we've got an hour and a half left. So I think maybe what you should do is not say, not discuss it, but set an appointment for next meeting, even if it's on a different day than a Tuesday if we need to, okay? But honestly, meet and then deal with all the issues at hand. But, I mean, I'm just getting a bit concerned. We've got an hour and a half left if we've got to be done by 12 o'clock.
Chair,
from our side, be comfortable with anything, any dialogue with PASA, any information, as long as we get started, I think it's important. So from our side, we will follow what the decision is. In terms of where we start in November or today, let's just get on with the meeting.
Right, PASA, let me just give you, we're going to present the item on our channel today, so that you can be able to answer.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We don't want to waste time, but we are responding to the request for PRASA to come and give an update on actions taken on the findings of the Auditor General, and that's what we're going to do today. We've attempted to be specific and to indicate what are those things where work is still ongoing. And I'm going to ask the group CEO to do so in a pointed fashion.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. As requested, I'll try and be as fast as possible in the presentation. Ours today is to give feedback to the Portfolio Committee with regard to the progress and implementation of the work that has been done after the issues that were raised by the AG on irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Starting, the accounting authority has commissioned a number of investigations into the irregularities and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The accounting authority again has directed management to institute extensive reviews on policy, processes and procedures to prevent irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We have also been asked to review our FEM policy because we have detected that there were certain shortcomings and certain improvements that were required on the supply chain policy. Management has developed action plans, metrics to monitor the irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In going through and reviewing all those items, specific items that were raised by the AG, some of them have been presented for condemnation and approved, and some of them are still in the process of being submitted for condemnation. Disciplinary action has been taken on some of them. Very few of them are still outstanding. The company is also considering reviews to recover certain monies, particularly on financial misconduct issues. We have had engagement with the Treasury, and the Treasury has assisted us in finding an expert that will assist us in the conduct to PRASA from a supply chain point of view, the acting Chief Procurement Officer, Mr. Kinane, as he introduced himself. If you look at the supply chain aspect, we thought it would be best just to repeat the issues that were highlighted by the AG from a supply chain point of view. Compliance was one of the issues. Implications on the BBB, the BBB and EE. In there, they're talking about the improper application of the EE code, risk management, the monitoring and implementation of risk registers that did not exist, records management, the lack of proper record keeping. I'm just reflecting. Contract management was one of the issues. Capacity management was also another issue. Monitoring and evaluation was one of the issues that were raised specifically as it pertains to the supply chain management. From a management point of view, we've looked at the necessary interventions that we believe needs to take place. As we said, the Chief Procurement Officer is going to be with us for a period of 12 months. And we're hoping that we will be closer to dealing with some of the issues there. If there's a need to extend, we will consider that situation. But we'll also look at a permanent situation. The intervention that has been done is to development of efficiencies and development of efficiencies to stabilize the SPM at least by August 2015. In so doing, we're going to put the minimum processes and enablers in place as required and recommended by the AG. Perform all functions stipulated in the applicable regulations, be it legislation, be it treasury regulation, be it our own policies, begin to strictly monitor and make sure that those things are strictly applied. Implement process to control, monitor, and manage compliance of activities. So those are the areas that we are going to do as that we are currently doing and we are going to continue doing. There's also, in the second phase, if I may say, standardization and integration and optimization. We now need to look at standardizing the functions across the divisions so that we don't find that we got good practices in one end and we have imperfections on the other hand. So we're looking at the standardization, including the regions as well. Standardizing the reporting template so that there is uniformity in the manner that we are reporting. Similar handovers between divisions, because the divisions, they do work for each other and they integrate, so we want to create that seamless integration. Because there are certain divisions that do work for others as well. Consolidated reporting cycle and execution. Process is system enabled. We want to make sure that certain things that we are doing manually at the present moment are enabled through the system to try and firstly make sure that there is quick execution and secondly eliminate human errors and interventions in that regard. Perform functions according to strategic and proactive management principles. We always have strategic objectives. We want to make sure that there is conformity in that regard. Manage digitalization and human condition of assets, rotation, and make sure there is optimum utilization. Fulfill the service level agreement terms to ensure that our service providers deliver what we have agreed upon with them, and that goes in line with the contract management aspect. We also need to pioneer creative solutions to exceed the expectations of stakeholders in that regard. In the main, from the intervention strategies, there are certain four focus streams that we are going to pay attention to. It's on the infrastructure, property and facility management, acquiring of goods and services, and investment aspect. Those are the areas that we are going to focus and to do what I have explained in the previous slide. We then said, let's look at the framework that we are going to use. Firstly, we say the policy needs to be guiding us, and the policy will be dealing with regulatory framework and compliance in that regard. The multi-different directive that we've got, and detailed specific focus on those areas from a directive point of view. The delegation, that's where we are assigning accountability and responsibility. In line of reviewing our policy, we also have aligned the delegation of authority accordingly. Standard operating procedures, because there has been deviation in some cases from the standards that are there. In some cases, we find that the standards are there, but people continue to deviate from them, and that's where consequence management is going to come in. The code of conduct, where we're dealing with issues of corruption, fraudulent behaviors, and any other activities that are outside our values as well. If you look at the second aspect that the AG raised with us, it was in the human management space. The issue that they raised was on suspension. It was on overtime. It was on leave management. It was on the acting position, acting outside policy. It was on recruitment, that the full compliance with the recruitment policies, making sure that before a person is appointed, qualifications of the church to verify and all those things. Those are the areas that were raised, and in that regard, we have reviewed our operational plans in that regard from the ACM. But in the main, it is the strict compliance with all, because we've got policies in the suspension, in overtime, leave management, acting and recruitment. We've got policies. It is just management of people and holding people accountable for the actions that are outside the policies in this regard. We've been beginning to manage the risk that have been identified. The risk department has gone through the various departments, identified the risk, put down the mitigation, and follow-ups are going to be made to try and mitigate all the risks that have been identified. We do have operational challenges that you might find that you have a particular person, for example, in the driving space. The minimum hours in terms of is 40 hours, and naturally on the verge of that, there's either a train breakdown or the signaling is stopping, and that particular person is in the middle of nowhere. You can't go and get them because they are stationary there. Then they incur additional overtime. So we want to engage with the Department of Labor in that regard as well. The retraining of employees. We felt that certain employees have been trained in managing our system, but we believe that the dynamic kind of the system that we have needs people to be refreshed and retrained. And we have a plan around that, and there is a limited budget as well from a training point of view that has been put aside to train people in that regard. And then there were specific coming to the finance. There were specific areas that the AG raised. The hearing amount on the investment in subsidiaries in terms of they were different from the current company from that point of view. And we are saying we are going to be looking at that as well. The material misstatement, this was a result that we had anticipated that we were going to receive or to be able to shift monies from CAPEX to OPEX, and we had submitted the one that said we were going to be able to do that. And later it was proven that we couldn't do that. And therefore we needed to change that and address that accordingly because there was no approval from Treasury, and that from the AG point of view was seen as a misstatement. When you look at the comparative figures for locomotive capital prepayment, this is the accounting treatment engagement where initially it was said, okay, look, this thing is going to be work in progress. And later there was an expert advice and agreement with the AG that it is going to be a prepayment. Just because initially you had submitted certain documents that have talked about the work in progress, if you change that at a later stage, the AG also had an issue from that point of view. In the same space, the comparative figures on property and land equipment as well. So what is it that we are going to be doing in those areas? The issue of the going concern of Intersite, which is a subsidiary, we have now resolved that by approving their business plan. They are at an execution mode of that, and we believe that on assessment that the issue of going concern is not going to be there anymore. In accounting misstatements that I've been talking about in the previous slide, we will engage the AG on a technical and accounting issue prior to the start of the audit. Already there are disagreements. I mean, I never thought that accounting authority, accounting principle will be complicated as a legal principle sometimes, that there will be different interpretations. So we are engaging on those different interpretations now to ensure that we don't experience them in the middle of the audit. We have also felt that we need to appoint independent experts to assist us in giving those accounting advice and interpretation. We said that the list of capital is now going to be done on a quarterly basis to ensure that we monitor them and we don't deal with them at the end of the year, and only then we pick up mistakes. The prior period errors and corrections to be affected before the submission of the trial balance. We have been engaging with the finance people to ensure that the trial balance is correct before it gets submitted to the AEG. On the ICT space, three areas were identified. The lack of inadequate policies and procedures, lack of disaster recovery plan, the effective program changes in the production environment. Now, what are we doing in that space? We have now asked the Chief Information Officer. He has now approved operating procedures that are necessary in the IT space. A suite of draft policies are now completed. They are going to, the ESCO has gone through them. They are now being in preparation, submitted to the board, and we're hoping that the first quarter of the new financial year will probably have been completed, all of them. The second aspect on the user management, and that is the access and the user rights, the short-term mitigation in place through regular user access review. So if we have allocated you certain rights that if you go into the system, you are allowed to do 1, 2, 3, we will continuously review that to ensure that there is no deviation from that point of view. There are certain modules, as we said earlier on, that there are certain activities that need to be system enabled. They are now going to be implementing certain modules of the current existing system, which is our subsystem, to deal with issues like that. In the lead phase, it will be VSS, there will be a real estate module. So we have engaged with SEP, they've given us resources, we've budgeted accordingly, and we will be implementing them. There are three TS systems that we are using, because the AD picked up that when you are working and following the processes, which is in the development, in the quality assurance, and in the production phase, that there were challenges in that regard. So we have now made it a point that we've got the necessary hardware in that regard to deal with the required infrastructure. And we have budgeted accordingly. In other areas, we've started procuring the necessary resources as well as hardware in particular. On the issue of the disaster recovery plan, which was also identified, we have divided that into phases. We've got the short term and we've got the medium to long term. In the short term, we are making sure that all our information is properly backed up, and we've got processes and procedures to back up the information, so it will be easy to recover that information should be a need to do so. In the long term, again, we have now, within the MTF period, we have budgeted accordingly to ensure that we keep and capacitate the disaster recovery in case of a disaster. I now want to get into the irregular expenditure aspect. These, we've gone through them with the committee on a number of times, but we are now going to be giving the committee progress in terms of where we are. Management has done 70% in resolving the irregular expenditure, the specific one that we identified. So we've resolved 70% of them, and we are busy in finalizing the outstanding 30%. And we have asked internal audit to follow up on what management is telling us. So when management says we've done 1, 2, 3, we then ask internal audit to go in and verify that situation. The first one of 357 million rand was on the acquisition of the locomotive. As you know, that one specifically is under the forensic investigation. The total, the 73 million rand, that one has been resolved. The board has of Autopass has dealt with that issue. It was a confinement. The only issue there is that the minutes did not reflect properly what had been agreed by the board, and that has been done. The SA Health and Gates as well, that a disciplinary action took place, an individual was dismissed, and that was condoned as well by the board. And the condonement, and I'm going to be talking about condonement on a number of them, and I'm sure honorable members are aware that we only condone when we believe that the organization did get value for money. It was necessary for that work to be done, but actually there was a deviation from processes or procedures or policies in that regard. The data centric, which is the supplying of photocopying machines and the maintenance of that, it was then condoned. When we looked into who had done wrong in that space, the explanation that was given to management was then acceptable, and there was no disciplinary action on that one. Baran, which is the security surveillance for a train system, the 13 million rand there, here where the regular expenditure emanates from is on the feasibility study, testing of the market, and the engagement with Treasury that was not done. That also is under forensic investigation, but also a market that even there is legal engagement with the service provider in that space. The Destiny, which is catering services, there's 12 million rand there. We have now established as to what and who are the people that we were involved. This thing dates back to a time where Enterprise and Propertech were still the same unit. So to go back to archives and get the people that involved took us a bit of time. We've identified the individuals that are concerned. We have now asked them to give us reason as to why disciplinary action should not be taken against them. So the process is on the way as well. Ratalala on the construction services of 8 million, there is an individual that did not disclose a conflict of interest. This one. Okay. Management is also on the Destiny as well. Management is preparing a condonation. Sorry, I forgot to mention that as well. Disciplinary action has taken was instituted on the 17th of August. The employee concerned was then dismissed, and management is preparing a coordination in that regard. The case Daniels extension was not approved by the delegated official. The transaction was condoned. The contract was subsequently terminated. Disciplinary action was initiated. There were two individuals involved. The SPA manager was suspended and subsequently he then resigned. The finance manager was suspended. Disciplinary process is currently ongoing. Currently ongoing, what we will find in some cases is that people exploit the situation. They will delay, they will ask for postponements, their representatives, and in some cases even the chairperson will then postpone cases. Unfortunately, once you are in the rim of that process, from a management point of view, it becomes difficult to engage. It's an independent process that has to be left in that manner. Otherwise, it will be seen that you are interfering with the discipline in that regard. Okay. The following one appeared in our subsidiary in the main at Autopex. This is the first one is the water supply for drinking water. The end user approached the supply directly without consulting SCM for bottled water. The contract was terminated and the individual content has also resigned. On the harbor, it was the offering of the marketing services, a supplier without following correct SCM processes. And the officials that were involved in that regard also resigned. On the Sherwood, it's also the fuel supply end user authorized transaction without following correct processes. Both employees were dismissed on the 4th of March. On the Uppington, which is also the fuel supply, there was not a dedicated fuel supplier. We've got dedicated fuel suppliers. Now and again, we find people deviating and going refuel in wrong areas. And disciplinary action gets taken unless there is a plausible reason that was given. And in this case, there was no discipline action that was required. Again, fuel supply is mostly on the drivers that do things that are not supposed to be done. It was also not a dedicated petrol refuel site. The driver refuel at the wrong fuel station. Driver was then disciplined accordingly. And all of them have been condoned on the fuel supply. There's quite a number of them as well in the accommodation space because we accommodate the drivers and we accommodate the bus stewards as well in that regard. If you look at the Hilton accommodation charter, we've got what we call charter service, which is different from our normal schedule services, where people hire buses and the drivers then use wrong accommodation. On investigation in particular, the charter field controller responsible for charter, when he was being investigated, he then chose to resign. Jalinjabo, this is the bus repairs. The person also who did not follow processes on investigation, he then decided to resign. Charters on the Mikasa hotel accommodation, again, the charter drivers utilize accommodation earmarked for scheduled services, which was not supposed to happen. Again, when you start investigating people and you want to take action, they jump ship in that regard. On the Salamati, again, it's the accommodation of driver. No disciplinary action was taken. However, in future, all charter movement needs to be planned properly in accordance with the standard operating procedure. So strict adherence needs to take place or is taking place in that regard. So the car towing services, appointment, the appointment without the correct processes. Investigation was complicated and no disciplinary action was required. Again, we ensuring that strict processes are completed. The beach view is an accommodation as well. Again, it's in the space of the charter drivers as well. On the refueling on the riverside, it's not a dedicated subtle refueling site. The employee was dismissed in that regard. Forklift appointed without following process. No action was taken. The employee had resigned. G4S is the cash collection services, is the legacy one. It was then condoned accordingly. There is a need for that services, but that's because when it expired, process was not followed, but it has been condoned. Tikela services is the accommodation. During the process, an unfair advantage was granted to the winning bidder. The AG was also not provided with certain information based on what the AG is saying. This transaction was condoned. Disciplinary action took place as well. The Burberry as well as the LA investment, these are corporate gifts that were also given to the board members. The chief procurement officer was within his rights to make a motivation, but that motivation that he made, it should have been taken to the group CEO. And it was also during certain challenges in the SCM space, and he did not take that a document for confinement for approval to the group CEO. The documentation process was done, except that it was not taken to the right level. We have prepared the condonation for that one as well. On the Bumani, of course, condonation, the person left, the CEO that was responsible for that, he has also resigned as well. The Bumani Computer Services, a quotation received after the closing date for a request of quotation. It was noted that the closing date to submit the quotation had closed at a particular time, but they allowed the service provider to submit a quotation, and incidentally, it is the very same person that won. The transaction was condoned because we did get value. Disciplinary action took place against the person that transgressed the processes. Again, Shakela, you will see that in the 8S there was grouped, but we decided to just, for ease of understanding, we break it, them down as well. We are currently dealing with all these ones at the moment. Salimisa Holdings. These were the lighting systems. On these three amounts, the 29,000, 63,000, 84,000, this was supposed to be an emergency confinement. And that confinement was done as an emergency, but ultimately when you have done that, the procedure requires that you take it to the necessary authority to ratify that situation. And from a paperwork point of view, that documentation did not flow right to the necessary authority to ratify that situation. A disciplinary action was taken against the finance manager in that regard. S-Link also is one of those legacy contracts. Management realized quite late that the contract has expired, but they had already made the payment. They did get the bill, just that the contract had expired. This has been condoned, and no action was taken based on the reasonable explanation that was given, and subsequent to that, the contract has been terminated. And now getting into the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there were three items in that space. And the other one is interest and penalties on late payments. The reason for the interest and penalty of the weak cash flow management plan, this has been strengthened to avoid a repeat finding in this regard. This one in particular also deals with the issue of funding and the issue of deficit budget, and we are now preparing a funding model which we are going to take it to the board. And once the board has engaged with that fund model, we will then take it to the shareholder, the Department of Transport, and later it will then engage with Treasury to ensure that there is appropriate funding of the organization, particularly in the OPEC space. Process not followed on the dismissed executive. PRATA has complied with the court order in that regard, and the executive has been reinstated. We are also looking at recovering the money. We are engaging with our legal department to engage the process to recover the money to the people concerned.
Okay. With regard to the money, there is no money that PRASA needs to recover arising out of that process. In fact, the matter became one between the complainant, the lawyers of the complainant, and the group CEO at the time. And they agreed to settle it out of court. So there's nothing to pursue from the side of PRASA. So as we understand, they have settled themselves.
Thank you, Chair. The last one, advisory contract for the former executive. The contract has been terminated in that regard. I'll take guidance from the Chair.
Okay. Honourable members, the presentation just came. Okay, Chair.
Honourable Chair and members, the point that we want to make at the end of this presentation is that we have done an elaborate amount of work. We have concluded 70% of the work per management report, and that 70% has been subjected to internal audit to verify that it is indeed 70% as we say. So what we are therefore dealing with is the remainder, which is 30%. And we are confident that given the measures that we are taking and the seriousness in which the board and management are focusing in dealing with the issues pertaining to the findings of the Officer General, we will finally get this thing behind us. We think that in the next annual financials, honorable members will find that many of those repeat findings will be out of the equation.
Can you ask me that? Can I engage with the presentation, honorable Singha? Pasanai, Mabika, Pasanda, on that line.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation and the positive sound of the direction that you are taking. However, we are still dealing with the past, and therefore, from our side, it might sound a bit different, but it's very important since we represent voters that also ask questions. I want to start with the general implementation and then also the last comment from Dr. Molefe, claiming that 70% of the work has been done. And I recognize that PASA board has committed and has a focus on what is presented here as a forensic investigation and extensive reviews. However, I have a big concern about one important aspect, and that is what you call here in the third bullet point on page 2, possible recovery. From the committee side, certainly it's an important aspect, and therefore I would have loved to see on what's presented on page 15 to 29 a column that states the amount which is recoverable and which in fact at what date would be able to be recovered, in other words, against the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, what we can get back. This against the fact that at the SCOBA meeting of the 23rd of February and in the annual report of PASA, it stated that we sit with a current loss of 1.1 billion rands in PASA, which makes this even more serious, that it's not just something that we can deal with administratively and say we are 70% done with this. We need to do a lot more. This is all against suggestions, five very specific suggestions what was made by SCOPA on the 23rd of February, which I also expected some progress on, since their engagement was also a very serious one. Then, more specifically, what we get presented, for instance, on page 15, at the bottom, with regards to the SA Fence and Gates Depot deal, which reflected that the reported amount is 58 million. We all know that there is an additional 250 million involved in terms of the extended contract. So why isn't that revealed? Why isn't that shared with this committee? Why isn't there a column that states, listen, this is not all? Because just around the corner, certainly that would be part of the next agenda. So why can't we get all of this dealt with and then also reveal everything from the onset? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome the report and commend the developments in Prasa. I've got a few questions to ask for clarity and a comment. Let me first make a comment on slide 3. I think it's on record keeping. It looks like this is a problem, Chairperson, which I think the entity must do something about it. It's very dangerous that find that records are not kept or there's no proper record keeping system. When you are taken to court for reviews, you are going to lose cases. And it is also illegal to destroy documents because documents of the state have to be archived for a particular period. So if you by deliberately or otherwise state records happen to be missing, it's an offense. I know this because I was dealing with archives in my previous life. So we can't just look at this thing when we are dealing with a big entity like this, with a qualified company secretary who's properly paid. And the next thing, there's no proper record keeping system. Something has to be done. Slide 7 is about human capital management, the acting. Previously, Guksi, you told us that before the end of this financial year, critical positions are going to be filled. And today, we are seated here. I'm not sure whether there are developments in that regard. But when you were introducing some of the people here, they are sitting in 18 positions. So, I don't know. We have to be briefed as to why are you not filling those positions. Because these positions are budgeted for. And you made a commitment in the previous interactions that come the end of a financial year. So maybe let me not preempt, because the financial year will come to an end in a few weeks' time. And then slide 11. There should be clarity, person, on information. It's ICT. The first bullet point is the lack of or inadequate. Which is which? Is it inadequate or lack of? Because the two do not mean the same thing. Do we lack policies or they are inadequate? So let's have a certainty in terms of language so that we know what we are dealing with, Chairperson. And then slide 19 and slide 22, they are related. In slide 22, an employee was dismissed for failing in a wrong, or you use a particular language here, station. But in slide 19, the employee was given a warning. Where is the consistency? How do you dismiss somebody and give another person a warning? It's not fair. You also have to dismiss a person for failing in a wrong station. It can be a fruitless expenditure or negligence, but we have to be that harsh. Because I see here, you give somebody a warning, don't do this next time. But I'm not sure whether on the other employee there was a previous warning. You have to explain to us what happened. So that, because we're dealing with human beings here. Last issue, Chairperson.
I see throughout we talk about the procurement office. I don't hear anywhere where we talk about the CFO. And I'm told the CFO is here today. I don't know her. No, it came here last June. Seemingly she was on and off. That office exists, Group CEO of the CFO, that the creditor has to intervene this way. Has the CPO taken over and the CEO, what's happening between the two offices of the procurement officer and the CFO? And what is the status of the CFO as we speak now? Because it seems like there are issues in regard to that office. And throughout here, it doesn't look like that office features even in terms of remedial issues. This has to be done. It's under, I see many executives are being dismissed. But where was the CFO when all these things were taking place? Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Chair. Let me begin, Chairperson, by commending Prasa Board for having commissioned the forensic investigation to deal with the issues of irregularities, fraudulent and wasteful expenditure. So I think we would have appreciated if we were to be appraised also as to when and we expect this investigation to be finalized, because it cannot be an ongoing something which we don't know when it's going to be finalized. But to be that as it may, Chairperson, I am a bit worried that this presentation for me does not necessarily deal with the issue of the lack of controls. Because if you go through, you can see that if there were controls, some of the matters that are mentioned here could have been avoided. Because it is of no use to keep disciplining people, firing people. The question is, where are the people that are responsible for making sure that there are controls? People are using wrong stations, doing this and that, wrong accommodation. Somebody should be responsible for ensuring that it doesn't happen. So, for me, that is what I'm saying. I'm a bit worried because it tells that there are no controls. Some people do as they please. So I would be expecting a Chairperson to see as to how is PRASA going to deal with the issue of its management, because it has to do with lack of management. If you have a problem of the issue of dealing with the issue of suspensions over time, if management acting, that is the responsibility of the management controls. So it does not deal that much. And if we are to overlook that, next year we are going to be seated here again. And keep reading about how many have been fired, how many have been disciplined. You see, Honorable Makangani has mentioned the issue of many positions that are not permanently filled. That also on its own is worrying. The CEO here is also acting. What's happening with the What is happening with the CEO? Because if people are going to be, sometimes when a person is acting, he's always not sure whether to take a decision, because you take a decision now, tomorrow you are out, you are gone. So that is very much worrying. Because to me, all these things that have taken place here, if the management was good and strict, we wouldn't be where we are today. So I think that also needs to be looked into to try and close those gaps. If controls can be taken good care, I think most of the issues here would be solved with ease. That is my take, Chip.
Thank you, Mamadiga. I think currently we are starting to see the position of Group CEO, not the CEO, so that we can be able to correct the question. Honorable Lamzi.
Thanks, Jerry. It's the second time when I'm listening to this report. Remember, we were at the scope when they were presenting about this. And we appreciate the chairperson of the board who was trying to explain thoroughly what happened. But I have a problem, Chair. I want to know about the capacity of the entire Brasa board. Because remember, this was happening when they were in charge there to monitor what is happening to the whole entity. It's only when after there was a report from the Auditor General where I can see now they're trying to close all the holes. But the problem is, what if the Auditor General didn't intervene? It means it was going to be a trend of just going like that. Maybe the PRASA was going to end up being collapsed while we have a board. And I want to know about the capacity of the board, because this is the present board, which everything was happening under their nose. Now they are trying to explain whatever they are explaining. But I want the authority from them that they must assure us about the way forward. And also the acting chief executive officer, who was then the chief operating officer, COO. This was happening when you were there. You were Mutlaoli of PRASA there. But I don't know then why now you can see this thing. When you were there, when the former group CEO do as you wish. I'm doubting the capacity there, Chairperson. And most of the presentation you were saying that when you want to charge the people, they jump the ship and run away. So I want to know what happened then if they run away after they've squandered the money or, hey, I don't know the good word, maybe. I didn't call them the thuggers, or thuggering money. Then what did you do after that? Do you have any strategy, or are you doing anything to recover the lost money? Because it's calculated to billion. Or maybe if somebody do as he wish or as she wish at the company, and that person, when you are attempting to charge that particular person, jump the ship, is over, you close the case. I don't want to know that too. But in particular, the person, I'm very much concerned about the CFO. Because why don't we hear anything about her? Is she untouchable? We can't work like that in government. Because everything, this is money, she's appointed there to oversee what is happening in terms of the finances of the entity. So million of a billion down under the drain, we have qualified CFO. So I think, Chairperson of the board, you are letting us down, and the management, about this CFO, where such a money can go under her arm. Thank you, Chairperson.
Hello, one and daddy. The defenders.
Thank you, Chair. I have a few questions. I want to link up with the meeting of PRASA 2 weeks ago, because I think that's pertinent to what we're talking about here, and the two meetings are very intricately linked. First of all, I want to concur with a lot of my colleagues that are saying that these plans are all well and good, but we kind of sense that the real essence of the problems are still not being resolved, and the rot and the problems still continue. So I want to just ask, first of all, things like, for example, the record keeping of meetings, contracts, and so forth. At PRASA, at the scoper meeting, PRASA had committed to investigate this and to find out how it is that important meetings are not recorded. And they also undertook to report back to PRASA within 2 weeks, or we're about 2 weeks now. So I'd be interested to find out, have they reported back to PRASA, and can you have the responses as well? Because I'd be interested to hear about that. Then also at that scoper meeting, it spoke about training of committee members. I'd be interested to find out what training actually took place, because I sense that the board and the members were not fulfilling their duties, particularly the fiduciary duties, making sure that this organization was running the way that it should. I also question the fact, and a previous colleague mentioned as well, that there are officials, top leadership in this organization, that are here today, but also here under the old CEO. And how is it these issues weren't brought up then? So I kind of feel this kind of tap dancing that's going on. Then the other thing is that there's a lack of time frames that's been put here. And there are a whole lot of things. The minister, for example, asked that certain investigations, and she requested, if I'm not mistaken, it was August or September last year, and still no response. And this is from the minister directly. This leaves one kind of very concerned, because not even the ministers is able to get responses, replies from PRASA. Then it talks about the irregular expenditure. My colleagues already spoke about $1.1 billion. I'd like to know what is being done to recover that, where they are in the cases of where are officials that are found to be guilty in this, how have they been censured? I see that in some cases they've resigned or they've just been fired, but that's not good enough. Have they been charged? Have they been, for example, personally blocked, so that they personally are censured in some way? So I'd like to know about that. And then things like, for example, the appointment of the group CEO, where are we at? We keep on hearing it as a process. What is the time frame? And give us a date when this new CEO will be appointed, so that there's so we know exactly where we stand. Then also, I've mentioned discipline matters. I'd also like to know exactly what is the situation of the CFO. Very strange that yet again, I'm starting to wonder if this person actually just not here. Is this person continuing to receive a salary? And if so, how is it possible that the person can receive a salary and just not pitch up to work? Including meetings, including the fact that, for example, the minister has admitted in the scoper meeting that she's never met this person. This is mind-boggling. And how can this present board and its present leadership can allow this to continue to happen? I'd love to know about that. I'm not going to repeat, there's a lot of questions that have been asked. One other question that has been asked is the fact that the rail safety regulator has withdrawn their report and is still waiting for PRASA to fulfill certain requirements, if we could find out where we are with that on the locomotives. And then the minister also asked in October 2015 for skills audits. Where are we with that? And I would not like an answer to say we're still busy with that. I'd like a time frame to know exactly when the skills audit to be done. This is October 2015, 6 months ago. I've had some experience in the corporate world. I can tell you the skills audit doesn't take 6 months. So I'd like to know exactly what date will we know when the skills audit is, and when does committee obtain a copy of such a report? I'm just having a look at anything that I may have missed, but I think all the others have been asked by...
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Honourable Members. Don't repeat what other members have said. Honourable Kata?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to be straight into the point, okay? If you look at the matrix in general, I think that we need a more detailed matrix. I'm quite excited. It's something that I've been over the last 7 years saying in all committees, that the minute we go onto a sort of more understandardized type of where you have work procedures and all that type of things, we will not have all the problems we generally have. So I'm quite excited about it, but I think what needs to be done is when we have a matrix, have the details and bring in what must be done, by whom must it be done, and by when will it must it be done, and provide us with updates on that information. Just on page 2, commission the forensic investigation into the irregularities in fitness and wasteful expenditure. Importantly, by who, by when, how far is the review process of the supply chain management process? And then we don't have to sit here ask all the questions because the answers would be there. I have a great problem with condemnations. I think we need more detail on the condemnations. We can't just keep on saying, okay, well, you were naughty, let's give you one slap and now it is fine. It is not fine. I've been covered on the concerns about the CFO, also the skills audit. Lack of proper record keeping, that is a major issue. What was done to correct it? The person that is responsible for minutes, the secretary, was that person replaced? I'm not going to get back into those. Just on the, you've stated that you're going to do the standardized systems and processes now, okay, and the operating procedure. Just an important question because I know how expensive it can be to bring people in from outside. Who's implementing it and at what cost is it being implemented? Are we using people from the outside to come and implement it? There's one very important thing. Whenever you do a work procedure, always make sure it works for you and you do not work for it because otherwise it will fail. Suspensions, page 7. I would like to know how many people are currently suspended throughout PRASA and at what monthly cost. Page 9, we talk there about the property, plant and equipment, and that there was corrections made from the prior year. What corrections were made and on what specifically, because we're talking about property, plant, equipment, and what was the corrections that were made. Just respectfully, you didn't say to the other last one or second one or third one, so I didn't count all the others. I'm trying to be, I think, a lot quicker. If we go to page number 15. Now, I think I want to start off with also agreeing that not only 58 million rand, but is that the contract has been extended with another over 200 million rand. But what is really of concern to me, and I think it is of concern to every member of the committee as well, is that when we went to Scopa, you heard that people didn't know who was SAD and GATE, especially from the process, you were not aware of who it was, and that was that came out of Scopa. Now, my question here is, and the first thing when we started today, my colleague next to me said, what is happening with the meddling, that PRASA is accusing the committee of meddling in management issues. Now, this seems to be a major problem with PRASA every time, because they are forever blaming everyone but themselves for meddling in their issues. And we can go back to media for the last 2 years, where every time this one, the minister is blamed, the board is blamed, everyone is always blamed for meddling in the issues. I think maybe they should have meddled in the issues long ago. I can say to you, and I also want to know, please, from Mr. Mulefe, Mora Nape, the person that you do not know from SA Fence, has been saying that he's been paying donations to your charity, Golf Days and those things. Can you please say to us, where did you get funds from charity funds? Okay, was it before the contract was extended or after it was extended? And what amount of money have you been receiving? And I think it's important that we need to look at everyone that gets charity money, that they must declare to the committee, because this is how supply chain management is also rubbish for processes. Which of the board members is still serving on the board? Who left? How many are still serving on other boards? Because that is also an issue, where members are not only serving on the PRASA board, but they actually serve on all different boards all over the show. I think I'm going to try and just do just another two, okay? How did, if we go to page 70, okay, it says that the finance manager was suspended on the 15th of September 2014. The disciplinary process is currently ongoing. At what cost? We are currently in 2016. We're talking about a finance manager that is not earning 2,000 rand a month. Then, just in general, if we look at the irregular expenditure, most of them is the bid documents of the winning bidder were accepted after, or the quotations were after the time. Now, how did it affect the quotations or bid documents that were submitted in time? Was the crisis manipulated? Is this how we are manipulated to put companies into positions and say, for example, this is cheaper, you've got to come in so much cheaper. That's why it comes in far too late. But I'm going to make this my last one, and I will see the follow-up to come back. Just on the corporate gifts, who got gifts? What was the value of those gifts? And then I want to find out, for example, the jazz festival last year, where members of this committee was invited, and I know that I was one of them that responded and was quite angry to say there is no money, and we cannot have jazz festivals and tickets bought for friends and for colleagues to go to jazz festivals. And I know there's other colleagues here that also refused. But I want to know what was the gifts and also what was the cost of all the jazz festival tickets that were purchased last year. I'll come back if there's more time. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Carter. You must remember I'm still the Chair. When I try to cut you, I mean you must just summarize your inputs. Otherwise, I'll cut you right there and there because my prerogative to give you time to engage. But if you take too long, you are cutting other members' time to speak. Or Rosalinde?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to start by commending that PRASA has done what we were expecting in terms of bringing people here. We don't expect the chairperson of the board and the CFO only, the group CFO only. We requested from Terminating that we requested other people also to come. Unfortunately, it never happened. And then also, I wanted to correct something that chairperson said. It mustn't be interpreted that we are killing scope. We are the ones who are supposed to lead. I'll put an example. You still remember the mission which was disrupted by the program of action. And then also, some of the issues which were raised by honorable members in before we started, surely they're saving the day instead of going like this and being forced to go like this because after indicated that they received these directions that must respond to this. Honorable Clegg, you were quite right. And when Honorable Pai Carter also emphasized that we need an explanation because this was not a secret that the finger was pointed at the portfolio committee. No matter the names were never being mentioned. And then also, Honorable Ramatlakane, you're quite right. I'll put an example. I don't know where it's PRASA or whatever. We raised a request, I don't know for how many years back, about the issue of Leopold in Northern Cape. Because, I'll put an example, you know, most of the time, the focus of our entities, am I out of order?
I just said that I get that way. Leopold is
not Leopold.
Leopold.
Yeah, Leopold in Northern Cape.
What is Leopold?
Yes, I can pronounce Leopold.
It's Leopold. Okay, thanks. You know what is happening there? We raise an issue to both to railway and also to PRASA that those who are responsible to assist us because the structures have went down and that particular area is no more active anymore because the rate of unemployment is so high, people depending on those on railway and also they you see the transport for the people. Okay, let me pass then. Chairperson, another thing which I'd like to bring to your attention, let me go back on this presentation. I think it's like number 5. The necessary intervention, you see. I had a hope that when you were accounting to SCOBA, you will be able to to give us deadlines to say by when. I fully agree, you said you were going to do it about destruction, what, all these things which you mentioned here, but by when. And there is an outstanding question which you normally used to ask. Do you have a risk management? Because if you don't have a risk management, you have that there is a product which says to be answered who. If you don't have risk management, you are friends. That's when you are going to experience all these problems which you are experiencing. Because it was there during the day of the scope, it was also indicated that another condition factor is the issue of accounting. That the entity have a culture of not accounting. That's why you don't have the documents. And then come to another thing which I wanted to raise, chapter 18, chapter 7, which is worrying me, is that it's unfortunately today they do give us numbers that I understand that in irregular expenditure from page 17 up to 27, that like Batalala, how much they've charged and everything. My words is, what is the PRASA plan in order to correct the situation? I'll put an example. Somewhere that day it was mentioned that a certain group was given a settlement, for an example. The contract when it was signed, it was about 8 million. And now the money is inflating, is going up and up. Up until when? What is your plan in order to stop that? And also, it's true. Chairperson, you said you must repeat some of the things. What is their recovery plan? I'll put an example. There is a thing which is worrying me, whereby we identify a problem, but we don't have a strategy of recovery. And also, most of the time we are reacting on what was raised by the NHC alone, while we do have other chapter 9 institutions. For an example, we have an Ekofuchev unit, which was, their head was Wolf Mayor in the past, I don't know now. This is assisting to recover some of the money. I don't remember even a single day where you tried maybe to attempt to involve it to recover money which is owed to PRASA. And also my concern from this gentleman here, I think from here to here, they're all acting. If they're paid, why don't you appoint them? Why don't you appoint them? Because they are paid for me. Up until when? Because as long as people are not responsible, directly responsible, that's why we are going to experience problems, because there will be no documents. Nobody will care of accounting. Then another one, a chairperson, which is worrying me. I thought they would, in the explanation, they would explain about it, that there was a member in terms of a fruitless and wasteful expenditure, who was the member of PRASA resigned, and then he came back, I don't know whether to advise or and be employed. What's happening? Where is he? Is he still right in PRASA, or is now taken out? Must have an explanation that what is happening, because it seems it's a circus, because we have identified the problems, but nothing which is happening. Another thing which I wanted to clarify, with the board is no more new now, it's no more 2 months in the office, so 1 month in the office is now. Few days in office, they're supposed to be too late. They're supposed to lead. And then so that they take their firm actions accordingly to those people who misbehave. And then, Chairperson, lastly, I won't go to those things like Honorable Member Maswangai never covered me, because here to me, that's why I've made a summary that would have been a regular expenditure from page 17 up to 27, that we appeal that you must be consistent. If you take an action, it must be the same action. Because if you are not consistent, that's why a lot of people are taking us to court. If they take you to court, you must know that they take us to court. And we win those cases at court. Due to those loopholes which are open, Jefferson, maybe I'll come up It's frustrating. Well, I don't want to deceive you. They shot Batalala, K.E. Daniel. They spent South Africa, I can name them. Those were paid huge money. Why we don't have any recovery plan?
Okay. Thank you, Honorable. Just hope some of the other issues will, you know, try and find time again. Sorry about that.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me just make the point that at the beginning that many of the things that we're discussing here will probably emerge as we engage further in the next interval around the whether it's the second or third quarter expenditure. So I think the discussion here is probably going to be overkill if we're not looking at the present. So this is really a couple of years back now. For me, my most concern is to actually get to a discussion differently around going forward. If you have identified that your welfare plan is a plan beginning to produce results. And that result we can only see when we engage with the current financial expenditure and the processes. So I do want to make this point that, and I'm looking at the DOT, that very, very soon, very, very urgently, that we do have that kind of conversation. Because then you can see whether the things that we are talking about here are actually realizing results. Where are you talking about the issue about skill retention, training, capacity building, all those issues? We need to look at the way. So I do want to say that if the board is confident and say we now have a turnaround plan, we should take their words on that and say, well, we'll see when we meet next time, when we engage with the similar issues that we're going to be confronted with as moving forward. But, Chair, you know, the few things that was bothering me. When you talk about the delegation and delegated authorities, I was wondering whether you actually had that manual, the authority manual, that every person that has been delegated authority understand authority and the levels. In every decision that one makes, that the manual is a guiding manual. I was wondering whether you do have that. And if you do have it, why on slide 15 you write that, in fact, before even I get there, one of the problems that you have with the SA, first thing was that the contract was terminated. And then scope was changed by someone who has no authority to do so. And this person or this company went to court and they were given back the right to trade within PRASA. And if you have an authority, if you have a document that says, me, I don't have the authority to make decisions that have this financial implication on the company, how would it be possible that at the end, the person, I go to court and somebody go to court and say, Leonard told me to do this, and on the way of Leonard, you must now pay me, while there is a document that proves that the authority does not necessarily lie there. Now, the second question in that slide 15, your wedding, giving an indication that in any case, you are in process of extending the contract. This was a small problem here, but your intention, outlook intention, we were going to approve it. As you say, it is before the approval of them. So the implementation started happening before the implication. So if you write this way, in the way you bring extend the product to obtain your approval, what was the intention to approve in fact to extend it? To extend the contract of SAFACI out of the scope, the original scope, with the money that was limited to it. So maybe that will verify as well as to why at the end you lose the court because the court says reinstate this company. I have never heard something like this. I have never heard something like where you're saying the group CEO is the competent authority to make this decision and somebody lower made a decision to extend or change the scope without a signature and the court upheld unless there was something completely amiss that someone is missing. Maybe you can explain that, what actually happened here. Okay. 58 million rand that you're talking about. That's the only question I want to ask, what actually happened, so that at least we can get a clarity on that.
Okay, let me give it to the board so that we able to catch up with that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Carter says, Moya Nape said he gave money to the chairman of the board. I'd like to get a report where he has said so. I have not come across it. I know it's an allegation that Mr. Montana made. I have not received money from Mr. Nape, and I knew nothing about this contract because they happened even before I became a director on the board of PRASA. And I must also state that I've never said I do not know Moya Nape. I know him. He's been in the youth league of the ANC. I'm a member of the ANC. I know him as a young person. I did not know him as a businessman. I come across him as a businessman now when I am in PRASA, and it has got nothing. I have had no dealings with him. The second point I want to make is that the directors of PRASA don't make decisions. They don't adjudicate tenders. We've got the supplier chain management structures. The board becomes involved at the point at which the subcommittee on the board on finance, capital investment and procurement make recommendations based on their conviction that what they have received from management is good enough to be taken to the board of PRASA. And on assurance by the FCIP, the board of PRASA would then approve. But the board of PRASA would also ask for probity. So has probity been effected in respect of this particular contract? And we want probity in respect of all contracts from 10 million and above. Those who know that internal audit deals with them, I think it must be very clear that directors don't deal with tenders. The second point we've been asked is, are we giving leadership? Do we have capacity? This board is giving leadership. That's why many of the things that have been repeat findings before the board came into office are now being addressed, and we are saying that we've gone 70% down the line. In respect of investigations, what we can't go, most of the issues are now, big issues are before the court. We would not be able to go into the details, but we can assure this committee that if you take the issue of the locomotives, for example, which is before the court, and I'm not going to dabble with the details thereof because the matter is adjudicated, but by putting on hold that transaction, we have saved the country 2.2 billion rand. This is what we have saved the fiscals. We have saved the country a lot of money as well, well over a billion rand, by putting on hold the transaction on Siangena, on speed gates, on the issue of cameras and monitors. These matters are before the court. The third big issue, where the Auditor General had made findings, and it related to 30% of the process, on BEE, it related to Gibela. Gibela is a consortium that includes Alstom and the black partners to build the trains in South Africa. We have done a thorough investigation in respect of that matter, and we agree with the Auditor General that there were imperfections. And we are satisfied, however, and on legal opinion, that the imperfections in respect of Gibela, which is a very important program, by the way, for the country to build trains, are not of a magnitude that would invalidate the contract. So the board decided that we would apply for condonation to the minister because the decision on Gibela was taken by the previous board. So we are dealing with that. The conflict that the Auditor General raised, by the way, related to the fact that the NEF
had funded some of the BEE partners, but the NEF failed to declare a conflict of interest when they participated in the bid evaluation committee. But that was a high-powered committee that included National Treasury, the DTI, the Department of Transport, PRASA itself, an independent audit firm. So the strength of that committee was such that they would not have been influenced by one person to invalidate the contract. They were investigated and were satisfied with the report of a very credible organization that has done that way. So I thought I should give general response. Let me try to deal with matters step by step, those that I am able to deal with. With regard to the CEO, the group CEO process, the panel has conducted and concluded the interviews. We are in the process of submitting the report to the minister, which we expect to be done this week. It was our intention that when we start the new financial year, we will start with the new CEO in place, fully fledged CEO appointed. Honorable Hudinga said we reported a loss of and we accept the recommendation on how we should structure the report with the column that reflects what is recoverable. Some of the cases that I have dealt with, and I said that before the court, big ones, they relate to recovering big monies. But there are also small monies, I mean like a couple of thousands. You would not appoint lawyers in order to spend $1 million to recover 200,000. So, and that's what we mean when we say possible recovery. You, in some instances, we'll just write and say, pay back this money. If it is recoverable, we would do so. But we would worry more about big issues that make big impact on the fiscal. And there are a couple of civil actions to recover some monies. For example, a person fraudulently says, I have the following qualifications. And as a result of what the person says, the company then pays him a salary that is commensurate to those qualifications. When we discover that, had that person disclosed the truth at the beginning, that person would not have earned that money. We then would ask for that money. But also we would combine that with the case of fraud. That's where Honorable Simande, your hawks and other people, commercial crime people, would be involved in dealing with these things. The report on a loss of 1.2 billion rand. Of course, there are many other ways in which we lost. By and large, the loss of 1.2 billion rand was as a result of the underfunding of PRASA, mainly the unfunded mandate of Shosholoza made, which we constantly talk about year after year, which compels PRASA in order to avoid being seen to be trading recklessly, have requested the Department of Transport to approach National Treasury to convert part of the capital expenditure which would not be used in the financial year at hand to OPEX in order that the organization can run its operations, can comply with all other things, including payment of suppliers and so on. But I think the acting group CEO and the group chief financial officer would deal with further details relating to that matter. The issue of record keeping has been of serious concern to us, but I must place on record that it is not the function of the company secretary to keep records of all divisions in Prasa, subsidiaries and so on. The company secretary keeps major records of the group and all the divisions of the board, and we are doing that. We've had problems with the supply chain management committees, not keeping attendance registers, not keeping detailed minutes of their meetings, showing those decisions. But with regard to this question, I'm going to at some point ask when I am done, ask the chief procurement officer to deal with this question, because he would explain in detail what he is doing, what measures are in place, including the issue of the code of conduct that is mentioned here. What are we doing to orient our members towards observance of that code of conduct? He's going to deal with the details. The Honorable Masongani spoke about it being a crime to destroy records. In Prasa, we found that somebody deliberately destroyed, wiped off information from the computer. That individual is appearing for disciplinary hearing now. The process is underway. But he did delete information, and through forensic investigation, we've been able to recover a lot of that information. And that is why we were able to see a lot of irregularities that I heard that. And that is the information that even the Auditor General could not get. We've been able to retrieve that through forensic investigation. And of course, as and when, you know, we are ready to apprise the board, the PCOT, the Portfolio Committee on Transport, on these matters, we would do so. But we are dealing with those matters. Posts that are supposed to be filled, the key post that we wanted to fill was the human capital management post, because that's where a lot of wrong things happened with regard to how employees were suspended, dismissed, and so on. We had found an excellent person for that position through the human capital committee of the board. But that person wanted a salary of 3.5 million, and the committee said, well, in terms of our salary range, we can't pay that kind of a salary. Unfortunately, the gap between that person and the next person was so huge that the committee has got to look at finding an appropriate person who would be willing to accept the salary that the company can pay, but who has skills sufficient to do the job that needs to be done. A statement has been made, and we were warned that we need to be even-handed in dealing with the transgressions of employees. We do our best to be even-handed, but as honorable members would know, each case is going to be assessed on its own merit. When matters are explained, it cannot be that when you found somebody guilty and every other person who appears before the disciplinary hearing must be found guilty, you mete out a punishment which is commensurate to the transgression that has been committed. And that is what management does in dealing with these instances. The Certainly there are numbers who are serving in other committees, on other boards, and I'm one of them, but I'm paying far more attention to PRASA than any other board that I serve on, and I'm sure there are other directors who do so. But I'm satisfied that they have devoted sufficient time to the work of PRASA, and I'm satisfied that the directors in PRASA have the capacity to discharge the mandate of the company. What we are dealing with, all these, many of these things that we are referring to, remember, they date as far back as 2012. Many of these are repeat findings of the Auditor General. And here we are, we're saying 70% of those things that have been coming from 2012 has now been addressed. And we put in place measures to continue to monitor, address and monitor what we are dealing with. The RSR report withdrawal. There were issues that arose with the RSR report, and we are engaged in discussions with them. They've given a conditional approval on certain things that needed to be done in the locomotives. I think one of them were the side mirrors. There was an issue relating to the assistant driver seat. There were a couple of others. I think Mr. Musemo can deal with those things. But that matter no longer arises because in the light of the investigations we have conducted and the conclusion that we have drawn, that in fact that process was flawed from the beginning, and in fact no contract exists. Because at the time when it was awarded, the conditions precedent were not met. The specs which were set out were not met. You ask me what specs? The specs had to do with leasing of Euro 3000, which in our view complied in all respects with the safety regulators standard. It complied with the Transnet rail network standard. There was a departure from that to procure Euro 4000, which was baptized to be Afro 4000, and that did not comply with those specs. They were not evaluated on the basis of the specs that were there. The performance bond was not given on time, which was a precondition to even considering an award. There was no forward hedging, there was no maintenance control, a whole lot of these things. So in looking at all these things and many other matters that we will deal with in the court of law, we considered that contract should be considered to not have existed, and therefore the court should be asked to set it aside and cancel the award. So that's where we are with regard to that one. The qualifications, you know, the minister, I was in a meeting when the minister spoke about the qualifications, but the minister was talking, she read to us date of letters that she wrote to the chair, many of them. But the minister didn't say, I have received replies on so many, I have not received replies on so many. So we're working on that. It's an internal matter that we will discuss with the minister, but we're dealing with it. On the qualifications side, that work is going on. The delay has been caused, Honorable Chair, by the fact that we were told by the minister, use the South African Qualification Authority because they are a recognized authority who must then check these things. They are taking much longer than we would like them to do, but we have agreed with management that now we are going to go ahead and submit what we have. 84% of the work that has been done, mainly with the executives, has been completed. There's just a few. Management have decided that they will recommend to the board that those who have been given since August last year the opportunity to submit their qualifications but have not done so, they must consider to be dismissing themselves from the company, because we want them to prove that they are what they say they are. So we'll have to deal with that, but we have to demonstrate that we followed due process. So that's what we're working on, and I think I've asked the company secretary that this month that report should go to the minister as is, because we can't wait forever for two or three individuals who have not completed their work. But by and large, I must say, our executives have produced the results, the qualifications. Is that the truth? And in some respect, is those qualifications that are international qualifications, where we have had some problems in getting access to them.
Honorable Chair, before you get enough of me, let me deal with just one aspect. The jazz festival, well, there are two issues. The jazz festival, we agree with Honorable Mem that indeed Prasa does not have money to fund the jazz festival. Management has been looking at this matter, because it's not a matter that the board decided on. It's a matter that resolved under delegated authority to management. So it would never have come to the board. It only came to us when we started thinking, can we get a report on what our sponsorship policies are? What is it that we may sponsor or may not sponsor, and what is the value that we want to achieve out of that? In respect of this jazz festival, we concluded that negotiations must be undertaken with the organizers of that jazz festival. We will not be able to stop it this year, because any court of law is going to make a finding that we are being unreasonable if, when the jazz festival is happening, I think it's happening in 2 weeks' time, and to say to people, cancel everything, when they have invited people and they've gone into elaborate planning of this thing, we would lose the case in any court of law. So what we're looking at is further engagement with them to look at the future, because we also can't spend money that we don't have. So those are the issues we are dealing with. Let me, Honorable Chair, leave the rest to other people to deal with. But I'd like we'll deal with the record, but Mbulero must deal with the record. And what you are doing to solve our supply chain management problems.
Mbulero?
Thank you, Chair. As we've done, we've already developed some control around this area. We've identified it as a very urgent, and we had to do an intervention. We've procured equipment for record keeping, and we've ensured that we've developed systems that are keeping information for each and every committee around the beat, because that's where we're having a challenge. And from October to date, we've been implementing that, and I can confirm that going forward, we need just enhancing with the system whereby we want to see in a crit, and it must be a fair and transparent system whereby if you are a bidder, you are bidded, you can be able to log on to the PASA system and see the status of your bid and how we evaluate bids. It does not need to be a secret. It needs to be in compliance with the requirements of the evaluation process. Therefore, all these innovative things are in a process of being procured, but as an intervention, we quickly and made sure that we had our systems in place in terms of record keeping. All minutes must be kept and be produced after every session of a meeting, and a record thereof be kept and archived.
Proceed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think this is a very important issue in view of the challenges that the business is undergoing through, but also in the light of the investments that we are making. Chair, I just want to very briefly outline critical challenges in the various regions, starting with Colgate. If you look at the specific issues that arose, which led to serious service delays, on average, if you look at the on-time performance in Gauteng over a period of the past 9 months, you would note that on average Gauteng was doing around 85%, which is far above the target of on-time performance of 80%. Unfortunately, in the past 2 weeks, we experienced adverse weather conditions where lightning struck three of our key substations, one in Kaung, the other one Dotcock, and the other one Elandfontein. And unfortunately, as a result of those the lightning effects, we unfortunately have our power stations not functioning. Of course, in that case, what you do, you have to depend on one power station. Similarly, in the east, we started pulling power for the various corridors in the east from Germany. Now, the reality with that is that in that case, there's too much pressure on Germany substation. And in terms of the chain operations, what you need to do so that you don't put pressure on data station, you've got to run what we call running chains in series, which means you can only accept one train in a section to avoid the potential for power failure. So what that does is that if you admit one train in a section where you would normally admit more than one, you naturally would experience delays. And unfortunately, with those delays, we've had a very bad commuter reaction, and I must state that it's quite a few criminal elements who really took advantage of the situation. In that event, we got our train drivers, of course, assaulted, and this was affecting, as I indicated, the East Corridor. And the East Corridor, meaning from Park Station to Germiston, and then Germiston to Davidson, Germiston to Spring. Unfortunately, we've got a complement of around for the Spring Davidson depot, which is based in Springs. We've got a complement of around 40 drivers, and because of these incidences and the attacks on the drivers, we end up having a complement of only 50, meaning that the 25 that have been attacked were submitted on the EAP program. And unfortunately, we didn't have the critical mass to even run the minimum of the service. Hence, then, the decision to suspend the service so as to allow our train drivers to go through our human factors program. And once they are declared fit for service, then they could return. So the decision really to suspend the service was based on that, and I can assure honourable member that we did with the necessary consultations with the United Commuter Voice. We met also with the city of Ekurhuleni. We also met with the MC of Transport in Gauteng, who also supported the decision. The good news is that currently now we have reinstated the service because the majority now of the train drivers have come back from our EAP program. So we've reinstated back the service, and the Springs and Davidson corridors are currently running. Yes, at the moment we are focusing on the peak periods, the morning peak and the afternoon peak. If you look at the KZN, we do have a particular problem there. Mainly this is in relation to the high failure rate of the components. Your compressors, exhausters, and now the issue there is that the critical component, we don't buy the new. They are refurbished and reconditioned. And what has happened is that we experienced a high failure rate as a result of a number of factors. But at the heart of it is that we don't do the reconditioning ourselves. This is an outsourced function. And we picked up that there are quality issues in relation to those that are supporting us, the suppliers that are supporting us for the reconditioning work. We've introduced very stringent measures in terms of how we deal with quality issues, right from stripping of the components and reassembly and the repair work. There are various quality points that we've introduced. And unfortunately, as a result of that, I think that is one in terms of the quality points, but two, also looking at the performance of the suppliers and those that we've experienced a high failure rate in terms of the components that they bring back into service. We've basically cut them off. Now, we've got a small complement of suppliers, but as well, we've introduced additional quality controls. That, on its own, has impacted on the turnaround time. But remember, the bigger objective is to have a more reliable train. Once the components are back into service, you want that train, the mean time between failure, to be extended so that you don't experience these regular failures. So that is the challenge in terms of what we are addressing. And I think we've got what we call a rolling stock recovery plan, which is addressing precisely that.
Just a minute, Murphy. I just want to give to the chairperson because the time that he requested to leave. To knock off now. I want him to explain those that particular heating issue that we question him before he leaves. You know, he must be able to respond to that question. Please, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I must say that quite clearly the members felt very strongly about the comment I made at COPPA about we have different interpretations of what I have said. But if I have offended honorable members, I want to duly apologize. But let me state the context. Firstly, I did not say that the committee or members are interfering with PRASA. We are the last people to say so. We account to the committee. What I have said in that meeting, and the record will reflect that, is that we were told, and it was in the PCOT, that the directors are meeting too often, the board is meeting too often. And that is seen, which is what the previous CEO was saying, as interference in operational matters. And I was saying as Scopa that, you see, we are held accountable as accounting authority. We don't say we're going to meet in January and the next meeting is going to be in March. If there is work that has to be concluded and we have to report on, we'll be required to meet as many times as possible to be able to do our work. And there are three authorities in this context, two pieces of legislation. One is the Public Finance Management Act that requires that the board exercises its fiduciary duties. The second one is the Companies Act itself. The third one authority is the Keen 3 report, all of which would say ideally the board should meet four times a year, things being normal. But things are not normal. It would go on in King 3 to say that, or as many times as is necessary for them to execute their fiduciary duties. And this is what we have been doing, and we're not saying that the directors here and the honorable members here are interfering, but we were saying there was unhappiness that the board was meeting many times. But this board had to account, and what I'm saying here is what I said to the minister. When you want the report from me, you want it. And if I ask it from the management, I'm not getting it, I'm going to have to sit with management to get that report done. This Sunday, before we came here, I spent the afternoon working with management on this report.
to make sure that it descends when we come to the portfolio committee, because what the portfolio committee would say, it would say, but you're not doing what we want you to do. And I can't say in this committee, no, we couldn't do it because we had asked management to do this, they did not do it. I can't cry and say, pass on the blame. I must do it. And this is what these directors are doing. To give you an example, Honorable Chair, there were delays, serious delays, with the testing facility for the new train. And we're sitting there, management do it, it was not happening. So we had to get the FCIP and the other committee of the board to sit on that thing to get it done, and by the time the first train arrived, it could be parked there. We had to speed up that process. It cost us extra money, which I'm sure the AG will raise it in the next financial, because we then had to pay extra 44 million to speed up the process of getting that program, that project ready on time, because for us the train was far more important. So these are the things, when we meet, we don't meet because we want to do management work. We meet because we want those things of which we have to account to be done. And I'd like to apologize if we misunderstood each other. I was understood to be saying the members are interfering. That was not my intention, and the record will show that I did not say so.
Thank you, Chair. Members, are you comfortable with the response of the chairperson? So I can continue with the other response. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I think we don't have any problem to accept it absolutely. But I don't know how to correct that thing outside, because I was checking from other people who were taking notes. I didn't check yet in PNG. It just kept up like that. And our reputation outside, I don't know how to take it out to correct that thing. Ourselves, we don't have any qualm when the apology is there. But our image outside, that's what I was trying to say. Thank you, Joseph.
Okay. Let's just take the apology, and we try also to correct it with the media so that everything can be misinterpreted. Can we continue the response, on the members? The person you are released.
Thanks, Chair. I would move on then to the Western Cape, and I know that there are very specific challenges that have been experienced here in the Western Cape. Let me start also by saying that the challenges in the Western Cape also raises very strategic issues in terms of asset ownership, because you find that you've got certain parts of the network where we are a majority user. As Metro Rail, but this network is owned by Transnet, and in terms of our interface agreement, Transnet takes the responsibility for the maintenance and upkeep of that network. And you would note, Honourable Chair, that in the recent days that we've been having serious problems, Belleville, Clairefontaine, and Melville Freight, and part of the problem there is that we've been having electrical power problems, major power surge, which has basically led to what we call the high tension burnout in our motor coaches. We've lost 20 coaches in that since November, and that reduces our capacity, and it is impacting on the commuters directly. The good thing as well is that we are through our group CEOs, the group CEO of Transnet and the group CEO of PASA. There is a process now that has been started to look at the issue of asset split, because if you look even in the other regions where we are majority users depending on the Transnet network, because it is not a priority for Transnet, unfortunately the performance in those corridors is quite bad. But also Western Cape as well, we experienced a number of train asset cases in the past 3 months. And we've had 10 incidences of train torching. That has literally reduced our capacity. Normally we run with
with 89 deaths per day. We are currently run with 81 cells. The arson cases have actually led to us losing an equivalent of 4 train sets. And if you look at the train sets that those sets conduct, you can imagine the impact on the commuters themselves. It is quite terrible. Of course, to recover from that, to rebuild and refurbish those coaches, it takes anything between 6 to 12 months. So the recovery on those sets that we've lost is going to take much longer. And we'll be confronted with the challenge. The vulnerability of our network remains a major challenge, and I think that is why a key decision has been made to allocate, at least over the next medium term, 3 years, allocate $1 billion just on the fencing program, because the act of theft and vandalism, if you look at the performance, there's a direct correlation between the rising trend in theft and vandalism of assets as well as the train delays and cancellations. So there is that direct correlation. The impact of crime on our environment is a major one. So that is just a summary of the very specific challenges in the major regions.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I'll deal with some of the questions. Just to add on what Ms. Murphy has dealt with on the effectiveness of our operation. I think it will be important to firstly thank the government for the investment in terms of the CAPEX that we have, because over time it's going to begin to address the challenges that we have of our old infrastructure, our old rolling stock. In the world, we are one of, there are two, in South America and South Africa, we have the longest and the oldest infrastructure as well as the rolling stock. If you look at our performance in relation to South America, we are performing better. So we do those benchmarks, we do that, but we know that the people of South Africa are interested in a good service. So we are seriously working towards that. The issue of the funding model, we are looking at having a funding model where we are going to be engaging to so that we fund the open side of our organization. This funding model, we are hoping that by end of March, it will be done. We'll start engaging with the board, and then we'll move to the so that we are funded properly from the OPEC point of view. CAPEX, we are well funded, and thanks to the government from that point of view. On the issue of SA Fencing Gate, let me start off by saying that it's going to be important to say that this tender, I think it was awarded, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere 2011, 2012. The value of the tender was 209 million. Okay? This one official, in his wisdom, picked up the necessary things that needed to be done. But having done so, he needed to follow a certain procedure and process for that approval. And that's for about 58 million rand. Okay? He was then dismissed for that action. Process of condoning that went to the board at the time. The board at the time approved the 58 million rand. Okay? Now, with the acceleration, to ensure that when the trains come in, that particular depot is well secured, both from a physical fencing and the CCTV aspect, we accelerated the work. It is estimated that that work is going to cost us additional 8 million rand. That process of that 8 million rand is still going to go through the FAIP right to the board for approval. Now, this is the up and short of this contract from a PRASA perspective. Now, with regard to the issue of going to court and termination assessment, there were engagement between management and SA Fencing Gate in terms of correcting some of the things that management felt that SA Fencing Gate needed to do.
patients engaged were claiming that you have also caused the certain delays and therefore give us enough time. Management then went back to the group CEO on that. The group CEO at the time issued the instruction that the contract must be terminated. When the contract got terminated, SHS Engage felt that was unfair, took the matter to court on two issues. One, that there is outstanding monies that we haven't paid them, and two, we have terminated the contract in an unlawful manner. The court ruled that we must pay them. The court ruled that the issue of the termination of the contract needs to be reviewed from that point of view. On legal advice that we have that we got from an organizational point of view, it became clear that our chances of fighting this termination are close to none. Okay? Informed from that position, the contract was then reinstated. Remember that there is work that needed to be done. So we then reinstated the contract. Started the engagement with them at the moment to say, now let's replan work in terms of when you're going to start and when you are going to conclude the work. And that planning has been done. They've been going through the five provinces where these devils are. So they're going to come to a finality in terms of when the work is going to be concluded. So that's the history and that's the background to this particular contract. The rest of it could be speculations, assumptions that we cannot be able to manage from an organizational point of view. On the issue raised, whether it is a lack of or inadequate a clarity on that aspect. There were areas where the AG says there is lack of. There is areas where the AG says there is inadequate. So we think in solving them, we will deal either with the lack as well as with the inadequate. Maybe it's an issue of articulation in that space. I know the chair dealt with the issue of consistency. There is consistency in terms of dealing with discipline. But in some cases, you might find that someone has committed the same conduct once or twice, and it's in a progressive. Maybe we started with a first written warning. He went to a final warning. And if he continues to do the thing that he's not supposed to do, then the dismissal. So that's how it could have been. I don't have specifics in this regard as to exactly what happened. But the management is very mindful of that situation. The issue of the group CFO. The group CFO has recovered. The group CFO is with us today. The group CEO, the CFO, has resumed his duties in that space. Background to the situation, she has not been feeling well. She's been ill. We looked at the medical body. We got the first report from Old Mutual, the medical assessment. Management had issues with that medical report. We needed certain clarity. We went back to them. We said we need clarity on this report. They finally gave us a report. In looking at that report, there were certain areas that we felt that they were gray. We needed legal advice on them. We got the legal advice. The legal advice said to us the person must then come back to work and the business will be monitored as to how she is performing. Since she has come back, I think it was on the 5th of February, if I'm not mistaken, she's been fulfilling her duties from that point of view. The issue of raised by honorable member on the COO and other executive being present when all these wrong things were going on. In December 2013, as the group chief operation officer, I was seconded to Autopex. Autopex was having financial difficulties at the time.
They were projecting 108 million rand loss, so it was felt that I should go and deal with that situation. I've been at Autotech for 18 months up until July, where I was then recalled to come back and deal with the situation. And we managed to turn Autotech around. It was now on the profitable situation from 108 to a 10 million rand profit from that point of view. Of course, we have been there. Of course, certain things have gone wrong, and we are dealing with those issues at this moment. And in some cases, we are going back, asking the very same individuals that were there, that who were there, what did you do? Why did this go wrong? That process is going on even now in that regard. Have we reported back to SCOPA? We are finalizing the report that SCOPA has asked that we submit in 2 weeks' time, so we haven't submitted that report at this moment.
Can you give us brief of that report? Can you give us brief of that report? Whether issues are being addressed or not?
No, issues are being addressed, and some of the issues are in this 70% that we are talking about that have been achieved. And we'll be reporting accordingly as well.
Can you copy that report also to the particular committee?
Certainly.
The Secretary, make sure that you show that.
Okay. On the issue of the skills audit, from an organizational point of view, we have got the service provider that is helping us with the fund model, helping us with the operating model, helping us with the structure. It was then felt that, yes, we do need to do the skills audit. But let's finalize this operating model so that we can see how it's going to look like. Let's finalize this structure and see how it's going to look like. So that when we do the skills audit, it is informed by both the operating model as well as the suggested structure that they're going to be suggesting to us. It will go the scrutiny of ESCO. It will also go the scrutiny of the board and probably the scrutiny of the shareholder as well. So it is in that perspective that it was not accelerated. The provision of the matrix with the columns, and we will look into that. The procedures, yes, procedures are there. In some cases, as I said earlier on, we've got policies, but we sometimes go against those policies, and that's why we have taken appropriate action. With regard to the issue of suspension, we could provide you with the current year suspension. But all the old suspensions that were there have been dealt with. There's only one that is going on, and the case is being held. But one of the challenges that we experience in these cases, people do exploit the system by using their lawyers, by playing all sorts of delaying tactics. And unfortunately, if you don't also tactically manage those processes, they are pushing you so that you make a mistake. And therefore, you have to go along, but yes, doing what is expected for you to do. So there are times where an ordinary case, you'll expect it to take a month, and you find it is taking 6 months because there are delaying tactics that are played within the confines of the law. So we can provide the suspensions that have been prevailing within the current financial year. We will do so. The correction of the misstatement, I asked the group CFO to deal with that aspect. Let me see who the gifts went to. The gifts, the ones that are reported in the AG, we are referring to gifts that went to board members. Best Festival, they have dealt with this issue. I'm still going to get a bit of clarity on the issue on the road point, the one that we got. No port. What is the real issue? Is the issue on infrastructure, or is the issue of transporting people asking us to render a service? We will need to get clarity on this issue. Of course, in the matrix that we are going to be looking at the timelines as well as it has been requested. Do you have a risk management? We do have a risk management department. It is assisting in the department at the present moment to do the risk register, to formulate the mitigations and everything. So that discipline of risk management is there and it is being followed. Even the board is paying special attention in that regard. And we are hoping that it is going to improve from that point of view. Do we have the delegations of authority? Yes, we do have the delegation of authority. We have looked at in reviewing the FDM policy, and we look at our delegation of authority as well.
Give me the group CFOs who respond to the question. Group CFO.
Thank you, Chair.
Why are you staying too far? You should have come closely. But respond.
Okay,
apologies, Chair, because of the delay on the entrance. When she came in, we were already seated. Apologies, Chair. She would have sat next to me.
Sometimes move, that's fine. And the members want to see you. Laos is like ready, like, you know, want to see you. Hey. Yeah, lucky day is not wearing a red dress. Group G.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to deal with the issue raised by the honourable member regarding the change in the property, plant and equipment in the annual financial statement. The issue there was that in the 2013-14 financial statement, the payments that we made to Swiss Bumble for the locomotives, we categorized that according with in discussions with the Auditor General, we categorized those as work in progress because of the nature of the transaction. We were very closely and intimately involved in the manufacturing process, so they felt at the time that it should be work in progress. However, in the current financial year, it was being decided that no, these were not work in progress, the payments were made. They were actually prepaid. So we were paying for an asset upfront since the asset had nothing yet. Because the risks and rewards of ownership, they were passed on delivery of the actual completed locomotive. So we had to then go back and change prior year figures for to account for again a fundamental error. So when we find a fundamental error in an accounting treatment, then we go back and make us the prior year comparison. So then that's why the financials didn't match.
So the last one that I needed to deal with was the issue of fruitless and wasteful expenditure with regard to the financial advisor who was our employee before, who then resigned and it was appointed as the advisor at a later stage. We have subsequently terminated that contract. One of the reasons in evaluation of the value for money, we could not see it ourselves. We then terminated that contract. I must say, though, Chair, that the person concerned has indicated that he will be challenging our decision on that termination. And our legal department will deal with that. I honestly hope that we have all the questions that have been raised by honorable members. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Group CEO. Because the other question was that, you know, in your page 10, when you speak about the appointment of the independent expert advisor, like, why, and I was wondering, you know, but I'm happy that I see the group CFO. She will deal with this matter because the group CFO must be competent to deal with this matter. We can't keep on hiring experts, but we've got experts aside. You know? I don't know her as well. I'm happy that I see her, but it's okay. No, but I've seen her before in one of the portfolio committees. But I think we must be able to deal with this thing
of too much outsourcing. Members are also concerned about this thing of outsourcing. Let's try to utilize our internal skills, but I guess most important, Mofi, deal with these issues of train delays. You know, if I can tell you how many calls that I got of Cape Town train got stuck, if I got to that. Must really deal with these matters because they are a very serious problem, especially in Eastern Cape. Must deal with them, and I don't know how I'm going to deal with it, but you must deal with them. Yes, Christopher.
With regard to the independent expert, as the finance department, we do reach a clinical opinion on how a transaction should be treated in terms of IFRS, but it always gives the AG more comfort because we find a situation where we have one particular view and we have a strong argument to support the treatment, accounting treatment of that view, and they will have a different one. And that is when then we will ask the independent expert to come in because they're independent, and then they will throw their weight of, you know, on the issue. So that's when we actually ask the independent expert.
So can the department help you with that?
No, we usually differ on the accounting treatment of it.
No, but I'm asking, can you get an expert from the Department of Transport?
Okay.
Because you must explore all avenues before you start outsourcing.
Okay.
Look at the Department of Transport. The Department of Transport, if it fails, might go to Treasury. You know, so that we try to contain all these things rather than trying to go straight to outsourcing these things. I think you are also exploring your own views. Group CEO.
Honourable Chair, I wanted to request that perhaps on the issue that were raised by Honourable Ramathas, that we package them so that when we come back next time, we then deal with them. And if the Secretariat can also assist us in articulating them when we receive the invitation for that. And I would request that we get quite a sufficient time so that we can deal with them sufficiently. Thank you, sir.
No, indeed. Next week, they're coming. Yeah. They're coming to update us about the rolling stock. We're going to engage. We're also calling also RSR so that you can be able to also deal with those issues of yours, of not maintaining the lines and all the challenges of all the other stations that have been closed because of you not maintaining the network line, so that you can be able to deal with those things. So from now, going to today, next week, they're coming to deal with these matters. We'll also send other extra information that we expect you to provide to us so that you can be able to deal with these matters next week. I think I present correctly, honorable members. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, brother. Yeah, you see, when you're a chair, you've got power. And I'm utilizing this power. At this moment, brother and the department are dismissed. You can go now. See you next week. Yeah. Only one set of minutes, I remember. I just hope you already have those minutes and looking at them. Okay, members. In those minutes, can you look at the page one? Do you have anything to correct there? Nothing? Can you go to page two? Anything to correct on page two? Can you look to page three? So page three, is okay as well? Can you move to page 4? Page 4 is okay. Can you move to page 5?
Page 5, okay, you can move to page 6. Okay. I remember this is a set of minutes. Do you want to engage or say something around these minutes? Or do you want to propose any adoption for these minutes?
Say something, about this minute. And I want to propose that we accept them.
Ravatakan is proposing an acceptation of these minutes. Any second? Okay. Is seconding. Okay, Aroel Mosorani is seconding. Any person is objecting? None. The set of minutes is adopted. Aroel members, thank you very much for this meeting today. Hopefully we're going to meet next week so that we can deal with the rolling stock on PRASA. Can you please, if there are other issues that you want to be raised the next week meeting, please send your views on to Valerie so that you can be able to, when you submit the letter of invitation, so that you can have all this information, so that you can be able to deal with either issues, so that we don't find ourselves fighting again around these matters. Thank you very much, honorable members. Honorable Tako? That's a tricky question. I think there's about in the West Cape will try and fix the issue of water. Yeah. Yeah. Where is it? All right, members, on that note, let me just say thank you very much for this meeting. And the meeting is... There's something here. Hey, I don't know what it is. There's a cake members that you're gonna, you know... It's my birthday. So... Thank you very much, members. And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.